step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Well, how's that going? Is that better, guys?
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Gremlin's been smashed.
If everyone on chat could just report in that everything's fine. Yeah. Thank God.
Yay. We got a nice alloy case on from Maddie.
Yay.
Fantastic. Welcome to another crackpot edition of... Crowcast Tuesday Bloody Night Live. And I'll tell you what, Nikki and Donkey, I won't introduce you again because who can be stuffed. But it's been like this all day, right? So it started off this morning. I had the day off today, right? Because I had to do an online exam this afternoon at 2 o'clock. So at 8 o'clock, I get woken up by the sound of a jackhammer out the front of my house. And I wander outside casually and see that Transport SA have decided that Scotch College need a better school crossing. I've probably just given away where I live now, but who cares? They need a better school crossing. And they decided today was the day that they were going to dig up the old school crossing. Today being the day that I had an online exam in a room with a window facing the road. And my God, all day, I had jackhammer. I could even play a video to drive people crazy. Yes, exactly right, Maddie. School crossing for no kids attending. This is after the previous 2 weeks knocking me out of electricity and internet on a Sunday for 2 weeks running because they needed to put in a new driveway at Scotch College. So I'm not going to bloody send my kids to Scotch College ever because I hate them. And then, of course, I went on and did the bloody exam, which was shitful, and then something else happened, and then now this happened. So, anyway, who cares? Who cares about me? How are you guys?
I was going to say, that's one of the things I actually miss from the UK, is double glazing on all the windows. Why don't we have that here?
Well, I've got plantation shutters on my windows, which are pretty good for deadening noise, but... You got to understand that this was not just a guy with a jackhammer. This was like a guy in a bobcat with a mechanic, like a big jackhammer, and about 7 or 8 meters from my front window, all freaking day. So, who said that they were an Unley girl just then?
Me.
Ah, my daughter goes to Unley, and my son is about to go to Unley.
Those poor bastards.
No, it's better now. You probably went when it was full of gangs and stuff, but it's better now.
No, I went when they didn't give a shit about you unless you were brilliant at sport or brilliant academically.
Oh, no, it's much better now. I actually have a lot of time for Unley High. It's pretty good. Donkey, how's things up north, mate?
I might have gone to school with some good ones.
Very good. Donk, how's things up north, mate?
Yeah, everything's travelling really well. The little break came very fortunate for me. I had to feed the wife in the meantime. And if anyone wants to know the picturesque definition of punching above your weight, there's a photo of me in the book. So if she says she needs to be fed at 8:30 at night, then I'm on the job.
He's not lying either.
The sneaky, I also managed to sneak an extra six-pack of VB in the fridge and pull out another two for the car. So we are ready to rock.
Good man. And we've given you plenty of headroom today, mate, because we've kicked Macca off because he just doesn't stop talking. And Pete's giving himself a week off. So the floor is yours, mate. The floor is yours.
So don't be, I'd be a bit more apprehensive without handing over the keys like that, like fiend, but
it doesn't matter.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
It's fine because
I still got to sneak in between you two.
What I've found is that considering there's no footy, our listenership's cut by about 2/3. So you're not going to damage the brand too much, mate.
I was going to say there's no super coach for Donkey to ramble on about.
Oh no, they were the highlights. He wasn't rambling. That was terrible, Nick.
Competitions. I loved how upset you got about competitions, Fiend.
Bloody hell. And, well, it's still going. Like, Donk, I don't know whether you recall, but last week I put $100 worth of KO on the line, $100 worth of KO on the line. Do you think anyone gives a shit? No. I've had nothing. No. I've had nothing. And I'm not, like, if this is a bidding war, if they're waiting for me to go up to, like, a season's subscription, they can get stuffed. $100 is all I'm doing. Yeah. So, whatever. They're all a bunch of bloody apathetic bastards listening. You're all a bunch of, bloody hell, whatever.
If they're listening, they're not the apathetic ones. So
yeah.
No, they're just either.
A bunch like us.
They're either bedridden or...
Well, J-Mac says he prefers the term devoted.
And that's very true. And, look, we do love our Rusted On supporters. And I'm very pleased at how well people have transitioned over to Discord. So if you want to chat along, obviously, if you're watching on Facebook, you can chat along with us on Facebook. If you're watching on YouTube, you can chat along with us on YouTube. But otherwise... you can head on over to our website, aflcrowcast.com, go to the live chat page. You'll see our Discord embedded in the page there. Just set yourself up with a name and click enter and away you go. And you can join the festivities, which I'm sure you'll find rewarding, satisfying. I don't know, what else? Enlightening?
Invigorating.
Yeah, I don't know about invigorating. Let's not get carried away. Something else that I did, and I'm just going to see if I can get this up on the Facebook and YouTube and whatnot. What I did, Donk, I started playing AFL Evolution 2 last week.
Yes. Tell us about this game review. We need some music for the segment.
It's not actually bad, to be honest with you. It takes a little bit of tweaking.
Are you better than you were at the Real Dream Team?
Oh, well, I'm better at most things than I was at Real Dream Team. No, this has taken a little while. Just taken a little while to get the hang of it. And the game itself is a bit unbalanced. It's in need of a bit of patching. So, but thankfully it's quite configurable in terms of all the attributes and all the different parameters of the game, so you can kind of tweak it a bit to get it to be a bit more balanced. But as J-Mac kindly attested on one of the other channels this afternoon or yesterday, I seem to be improving. So what we've done, Donk and Nick, on Twitch, you can follow us on Twitch, AFL Crowcast, or it'll be on YouTube and Facebook as well. We're going to run through the season as if the season was played, right? So we've done, last weekend I did the Crows versus Swans round one fixture.
Oh yeah, how'd we go on the replay?
Well, it was looking bad early. I think I was about 4 goals down and looking all at sea after the first quarter. But we forged back into the contest by halftime. We're only, I think, 3 or 4 points down. And by the end of it, we ran away victors by about 20-odd points. So, so we're off and running in virtual season 2020. I'll be playing the showdown tomorrow night at about 8:30. So if people want to get along, it's actually not too bad, you know. I've got it playing in the background on the graphics at the moment for people to just see what the gameplay looks like. And to be honest with you, I mean, it's a low-budget game. It's Aussie Rules football. It's a bit glitchy, but it's still kind of fun to watch. So there's a few streamers on Twitch and whatnot that are streaming AFL Evolution 2, a couple of them quite good, the rest of them pretty much like me. But if you got nothing to do at 8:30 or thereabouts on a Wednesday night, come over and have a look, have a chat. I'll probably be having a beer or two while I play. I might even play two games, depending on how I feel. So come and have a chat and a bit of a laugh, and we'll run through a couple of games and see if we can get Season 2020 off and running in some way, shape or form. Which segues me, lady and gentlemen, into AFL news this week. And, of course, there's been continued chatter about the hub situation, but it looks to me less and less likely that's going to occur.
Yeah, I think...
Good.
I think the move by the NRL to do what they've done have really they really attract a lot of bullets. So the AFL being ever gun shy, I think, would be never wanting to be bad people in these situations. So the other thing the AFL needs to think about is doing themselves some long term brand damage. You know, they've set themselves up as the family code and, you know, all those sorts of things. And
hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You can't do that and then put a lot of people at risk.
I think there's also the difference in between the two governments in Victoria and New South Wales. Victoria shut down a lot quicker than what New South Wales did. The New South Wales government sections of it are the ones who are pushing ahead and thinking this is a great idea with the NRL. I don't think Daniel Andrews' government would actually be okay with it. So I think that's there might be some discussions going on in the background, but I think the government, particularly in Victoria, will have a lot of say in what goes on.
Yeah. And the other thing too is we're not... With community transmission in those bigger states, like the NT and SA look pretty good compared to those guys. But with the community transmission, it just means that any sort of opening up is going to mean a pretty big flare-up if things don't go right. And, you know, that's just that'll be a disaster for a lot of old people. So and a lot of people in general. But, yeah, it's just not something I think you can play around with. And the worst thing I think we can do is open up, stop, open up, stop, open up, stop.
Yeah, and that's the worst thing you can do regarding the curve is you've got to keep it shut, and then when it seems to be improving, then you've got to keep it shut a bit longer. And once it starts going down and it's got to go down enough, only then can you start to open things back up again. Yeah. And it's going to be hard.
I don't actually think Victoria are travelling as well as what you say, Nick. Their testing is actually... Their testing compared to New South Wales and South Australia is way low. Test per 1,000 or 10,000 or whatever it is that the measure is. And I dare say that their actual case numbers would be a lot higher if they're actually testing to the same level as South Australia and New South Wales. So, nevertheless, I mean, until you can't... To my way of thinking, and I think the AFL are kind of falling in line with this way of thinking, forced a bit by the AFL Players Association, you can't have a season until those borders are opened up. A lot of the players are worried that if you stick them in a hub, if all it takes is one case and all of a sudden you've knocked out six teams, it's just not really workable.
Yeah, and the fact is that a lot of teams you've got, so we have some of our interstate players have stayed here, but others have gone back home. to be with their families, etc. So trying to get them back in again, that would be difficult.
Well, I mean, they'd have to quarantine everybody in one place and then distribute them to the hubs and then basically have those hubs self-contained, like a little Olympic village in each area, which is doable, I guess.
It's doable, but then you've also got to, it's not just the players, it's all the officials, and then it would also have to be everybody that's providing the food for them, the cleaning, or all that kind of extra stuff. So it's...
Oh, yeah, it's a massive...
You're literally right when you said it's an Olympic village.
It would be an Olympic village. It would be massively difficult logistically, and, you know, you'd think that it would almost end up being revenue neutral because they'd have to play it in front of an empty stadium. You wouldn't get the broadcast buy-in, I don't think, in terms of viewership, so you wouldn't get the ratings. Sponsorship dollars are drying up. Apart from anything else, clubs would need to reinstate a whole bunch of staff even to get going, because we know that every club has actually laid off a lot of staff, and some of those have actually gone for good, whereas others will be waiting in the wings for a call-up. So more recently, we've been hearing, or I've been hearing, a couple of the coaches and a few other AFL-connected people talk about a July start. And considering the AFLPA have said that they're quite happy to run through until December, that would still give us essentially a five-month season. With some of the other measures that they're talking about, I guess that's doable. I could see a five-month season, 18 rounds, and like a reworked fixture, 18 rounds, and they might even change it to a top six instead of a top eight.
Yep.
And
you reckon?
Yeah, I think that they will have to do some tweaking somehow on it, but definitely I think there's going to be something, and I think July sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't go. Don't.
No, I was going to say, sorry, got something in my throat. Go on.
Bloody hell, mate.
It was a bit of fucking Aaron Twisty. Literally, Aaron Twisty's just come loose to the tooth and hit the back of the tonsils at the wrong time. Yeah, well, look, you had a look at the... I became a little bit of a coronavirus nerd for a little while.
Yes, I've noticed.
The peak of our infection should be looking to hit in week 42 from the first week of infections, and we're about week 7 or 8, I think, at the moment into it. So, you know, realistically, they're not actually talking about it, you know, the worst of it being over until, you know, December, January type of time. There'll have to be a decision made at some point about, you know, how widespread the community spread of this is,
yep,
and how on what things are being opened up. So, I mean, I don't think you can imagine playing footy, but, you know, still not being able to go to a restaurant and things like that. So it's just going to be, you know, and the other big decision that will be coming soon will be, you know, when kids go back to school and those sorts of things. So it's, I think there's still too many unknowns for anyone to be making any real sort of, you know, assessment of where we're going to be.
Yeah, I think you're right, Donk. You know, it's difficult. I don't know. It's probably the same for you in Northern Territory, but in South Australia, because our cases have dropped off dramatically to the point of, you know, single digits for the last few days, it's very easy to think that there's light at the end of the tunnel. But you only have to look at countries like Singapore and Japan, who were, you know, Singapore in particular was the poster child for containing the virus, and yet they actually haven't flattened their curve at all. Their cases, whilst they've been lower, have been not diminishing. And there's other countries that, having weakened their restrictions, are now suffering an increase again of cases. So, and you wouldn't want to be the government that pulled the trigger too early, would you? And just which resulted in a few more unnecessary deaths. You just wouldn't want to be that government. So I'm not a fan of Scotty for marketing, but I would not like to be in his position at the moment, trying to balance the needs of the economy and public perception and the reality of how this virus operates.
Yeah, I'm also generally not a fan of Scotty from marketing, but I actually think they haven't done too badly as a whole in the country. When you have a look at the way other countries have handled what we're going through right now, I think nationally and all the local leaders, or most of the local leaders, seem to be actually looking after us first rather than worrying too much about the other stuff. But the next big problem is how we're going to feed our families, and that is going to bite pretty soon.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't think there'd be many families completely unaffected. I was saying to you off air, Donk, that I'm very fortunate with my own job, and yet two of my immediate family have lost theirs. So, you know, if it doesn't happen to us directly, it certainly happens to people in our immediate vicinity. And they're talking about unemployment rising to 10% by the second half of the year, and that's, you know, that's 1970s numbers. We haven't seen 10% unemployment for a long, long time.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, let's not get too depressed about stuff like that, because we're here to talk about footy. Not that there's a huge amount to talk about, but I did want to talk about... something that was raised, and it seems that the virus has enabled every idea known to man to be raised. We've had chatter about the hub, we've had chatter about reducing the numbers on the field, and now we're having chatter about increasing the draft age, another one of my pet bugbears, the draft age. There's been chatter about now being the opportunity for us to raise it to 19. Nikki, what are your thoughts?
We've kind of touched on this a little bit before, and I'm a bit on the side of, actually, I think it's probably a good idea to push it that little bit out, and because what it does is it's not putting pressure on those kids straight out of year 12, and that the fact that they can then actually experience a little bit of life. They can focus a bit more on that schooling if that's the way they want to go, or they can start working in a trade while still trying to get into football as a career, because we know that not that many of them actually make it all the way through or are successful like a Walker or a Sloan. So I do kind of like a bit of the US system where they are a bit older coming in, but can also play until they're older. So it's, so yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Although the only person I saw mention it publicly was Bevo, which I usually just say no.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Because he's a dickhead. I do. There's a few things about, and Nikki's smarter than me with sports injuries and things like that. But I've seen quite a bit of, you know, media discussion around, you know, young players being put through the traps really early, and yep. And the harder they've worked as a, you know, in that younger age, the more their bodies have been breaking down. And if you have a look at like the NFL do their drafting, which is they make them go through a couple of years of college, whereas the NBA, you can either do a one or done, and back in the day you could just go straight through.
Yeah.
There's a different, and I hate this word because it's not a word, but there's a different physicality with the sports. Whereas, yes, you know, footy, footy 360 running, you know, you're getting smashed in every direction, your body's not mature. You know, if you're being, if you're a Sam Walsh or some, Sam Walsh, you know, you're playing AFL from the age of, you know, 18 years old, you're getting smashed by, you know, full body blokes in opposing teams every week in and week out, and you want to star ball winners. Like, it's career limiting behavior. If you have a look at someone like Chris Judd, if you think of the 2001 draft, Chris Judd went to the Eagles, was a star player basically from day dot, you know, got premierships and Brownlows really, really early on, and retired, you know, 5-6 years before Gary Ablett, who was recruited in the same draft, or Hodgson Mitchell. So, you know, is it really that much of a problem? The other thing too is, I think you start to eliminate a lot of the problems that you're going to get with draft busts, because people have a couple more years of maturing during that time. And I don't know about my listeners on the cast, but at 18 years of age, you know, being trusted with a couple of hundred grand in my back pocket and you know, having footy is the only thing you're doing in your life, that's not necessarily it's a defining time in your life. And if you're getting everything handy on the plate, you haven't really had to fight your way through stuff. And that extra couple of years, I think, could be quite pivotal to a lot of kids coming through.
I think you raise a brilliant point there, John, particularly regarding the injuries, because the other name I'd bring up is Cruiser. Matty Cruiser breaks down every year. And when he's playing and he's up and about, he's such a good player, and Carlton need him. But he always does these most amazing injuries every year. And I've always thought it's that load that they played him too young.
Yeah.
And there was too much emphasis put on him. Another advantage, I think, for it actually is the lower legs. It's the SANFL, the VFL, because these kids are going to have somewhere to play, because they're going to stop playing the under-18s. They then have to go and start playing against mature bodies.
Yeah.
It's going to actually keep some of that talent.
And that's a double-edged sword, though, Nick.
It might actually draw some people back to those leagues.
Well, it could. I mean, I've got some very firm views about the draft age. I actually think it should be 20. I think it shouldn't even be 19. I think it should be 20. But the point you raised about the lower leagues, look, then the good kids are going to be in lower leagues for one season before they get drafted. It's not going to drag people back, Nick. In fact, it's going to infuriate the lower leagues, because they're going to have a constant turnover of top-end talent that they've developed.
Invested in.
Yep. And I actually think that there needs to be, instead of a reserves team, there needs to be an under-20s comp to replace the TAC Cup. Kids should graduate from their elite programs at club level into that under-20s competition at national level, run around in that competition for a couple of years. It gives a lot of exposed form to recruiters, scouts, clubs, etc., etc. It enables kids to get used to the rigors of AFL football, physical and also mental. And I think anything less than that is just going to be piecemeal. Because on top of lifting the draft age, what I think needs to also happen at junior level is that they need to lift the initial state squad age. At the moment, and I can only speak for the men, but at the moment, the first state squad is picked at under 12 level, right? We're talking primary school level. Now, once those kids get picked into a state squad, or even if they get picked to go out and try out for a state squad, they're immediately on the radar of the, in South Australia, the SANFL Junior Development scouts and teams and whatnot. So invariably, yep, they then enter a development squad, which starts at under 12 level. It goes through until under 16 level, where they actually play games. And then obviously you're under 18 level, where they play, a full season essentially. The complicating factor, or a couple of complicating factors there, is that by the time these kids hit 18, and particularly if they're in elite programs and also going to private schools, they have played a shit ton of football. They have played football three or four times a week for 5 or 6 years of their life. The private schools don't let up, so you've got to go to private school training if you want to play first 11. And the development squads don't let up, so you've got to go out and train if you want to have a run in your SANFL team. So these kids are training 3 to 5 times a week and playing at least one and sometimes two games on a weekend. It's too much. It's too much. And you talk about blokes like Cruiser and Judd, and, you know, it's debatable whether them having so much football at a junior age has contributed to them breaking down at senior level. But I don't think it would do kids any harm to start the pathway later, say at 15, and get to their elite squad at 18 with their SANFL clubs in South Australia. And if they're good enough, they get picked up by a TAC, let's call it TAC Cup, but an under-20 competition team. They run around for a couple of years, and then they get drafted. That's what I would like to see.
Well... Because I come from gymnastics, they identify those kids when they were 5, and your career, particularly for female, your career is over by 18. So I do think that's a bit harsh, and I have kind of wanted to see that change a bit. So I do think that extending it out to 20.
So you're saying it's probably too late for me in gymnastics, Sniggy.
Never too late, mate.
It's never too late because I started at 18 and a half and retired at 30. And I do actually have a couple of Australian titles. Yeah, but I was at my level.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure the horse would be under a fair bit of duress if I'm jumping up.
Yeah, this is why I have dodgy hamstrings now.
That horse would definitely be bolting, Donk.
Yeah, well, there's no way I'm getting on top of it. I'll be hitting it from the front.
But I do think if you're doing it, if you still have that under 18 comp and then to an under 20, I think that would actually work really well for you because you've got 2 years, and what it means is whilst a lot of those kids are possibly going to get drafted, you've still got kids that won't because they're 18, 19, will be playing in those teams, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I think that's actually a really good idea. And for me, I think it's also where I think it's quite good is the fact that most of those kids, if they're doing it, a lot of them would be at university as well.
Yeah.
So you're juggling study, you're juggling elite sport. And yes, a lot of the universities have programs for elite sports people and kind of help them their way through it, etc. But they've still got to hit those particular marks, which will actually benefit them going into an AFL club environment where it is still very regimented and you have to do things to time slots.
You know what? Even if they're not doing uni or not doing a trade or whatever, what it does is allow them to start later because I've said it this time and time again, blokes are making decisions on kids that haven't stopped growing yet. And it's such a crapshoot, and it's why we get so many busts at the top end of the draft, because it is a crapshoot. When you've got so much money at stake, this is a high-level professional sport in Australia now. Clubs are spending tons of money on kids, and it's not the kids' fault, you know? Not the kids' fault at all, but kids develop differently, and kids don't stop developing at 16 or 17. My lad grew like 6 inches between 17 and 19, for goodness sake. You know, I mean, and that's not abnormal. So these kids need an opportunity for their bodies to develop so that they can take a little bit more weight training. Also, by going straight from their junior development squads to an elite under-20 competition, if they don't happen to get drafted, then the league clubs that develop them can then get value for their development because those kids, you know, they can get first right to those kids back at whatever club they came from in the first place that developed them. So it, to my way of thinking, doing something like that supports the development pathway that it's being funded and operated by volunteers at grassroots club level. It gives the kids a later start so their body's got a little bit more time to develop. It allows them to finish their schooling. It allows them to play in an elite competition at national level without having to give away their whole life to do it. and it gives the developing club something on the way back for those kids who don't happen to make it. I don't see a downside, and I do hope that the conversation continues. I don't think they'll do an under-20s. They'll probably do an under-19s, but I do hope the conversation continues, because I think it's the big chink in the armour of the AFL and Aussie rules in general at the moment is the pathway. I think we've got it terribly wrong.
I think with this whole situation, there's going to be a whole lot of people that have a look at the way they do things, and things that have been done just because they've been done that way for a long time. You know, now's the time to review and have a look at some of those systems, and this seems like a bit of an easy one to have a look at. And if you have a look at even the drafting profile, a lot of clubs lately, you know, there's quite often a few you know, second, third year players that are playing in state league somewhere that are coming through in the early rounds of the draft now. So it's not even that the clubs aren't necessarily looking in those places. So a pivot, I don't think, has to be, you know, the end of the world.
Anyway, we'll see how that develops. You know, the AFL can be a bit monolithic at times, except when they're tweaking rules, in which case they seem to jump left, right and centre. But on major changes like this, they seem to move slowly. But I think if Steve Hocking achieves one thing during his tenure, if he could redress and correct the pathways for men's AFL footy and make it more equitable for all the stakeholders, players, clubs, parents, coaches, everyone, then I think he would have earned his keep. What's been going on in Adelaide Crows social media land? By the way, this is a Kane Corns free zone, so I'm not going to talk about that shit that he keeps stirring up.
I did notice today, I'm not sure if everyone's aware, but Benny Davis was in a Hungry Jack's commercial, and that seems to have caused quite a stir within the playing group.
Was he?
Yeah, he was picked up by some ad recruiters in a shopping centre in Sydney a few years ago, and with his girlfriend at the time. Was supposed to just be an extra, but the actual paid actors were no good, couldn't get it done in 20 takes each. So they've thrown to the big Benny Davis, and he's knocked it out of the park.
Sensational. So,
that doesn't surprise me.
He is my bacon deluxe of all time, so happy days.
There's been a lot of back and forth about various challenges and whatnot. I see Tex has got on the recipe bandwagon. I just can't equate Taylor Walker to good cooking advice, so I can't really take that seriously.
Mate, omelets aren't cooking. Omelets are cracking a couple of eggs in the bowl and throwing some other stuff in there. That's so B grade. Come on, Tex, lift your game.
Yeah,
I want to see a lasagna, mate.
A lasagna.
He's building up to it. He's no Chrissy Teigen yet.
Mate, he's 30 years old.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Yeah. It's a bit like you and the donkey and the horse donkey.
Mate,
you slowly draw people in, and then you start to, you know, you don't start off at the top and then fall away. You've got to build up to the peak.
Now, my favourite meme of the slowdown period has been all these people are saying by the end of this, they're going to be great cooks or alcoholics, and I just the great sort of finish off line was I'm already a great cook and a third generation alcoholic. Thank you. You guys are just underachievers. That's a tough crowd.
Yeah. Jesus. I'm starting to remember why we drown you out, Neto. No, I'm kidding. Look, sorry, I was just distracted because I was looking at the AFC website, actually looking for content that we could chuck onto the show here, and it's slim bloody pickings, I tell you. And I really appreciate people who have actually tuned in to listen, because fucking hell.
I was going to say, though, even though I know that you're doing your games on Wednesday at 8:30, there is now some sport to watch at 6:30 on a Wednesday night.
What's that?
And I watched it last week. It's the Supercars E-Series.
Oh, my God. How good is that?
That was brilliant, and I love it because Win Cup can't win because he's useless because he's down the pack. But that was, oh, my God, so funny. particularly the way the cars go flying through the air.
Oh, that guy, who was it that got hit and went and catapulted into the air? I can't remember who it was, but that was hilarious.
Oh, Kelly.
Yeah, and the commentators rightly said he didn't put a hair out of place. Look, if you just switched that on and you weren't aware that it was virtual racing, it would take you a few minutes to register because all the pre-race drone footage and all that, that's actually in-game footage. That's not real footage, you know. And, yes, the cars are very easily spotted as being virtual, but the actual textures of the track and the grass and all the rest of it is just amazing. And the sophistication that goes into some of those simulators with pneumatic pedals and motion sensing chairs and force feedback through the steering wheel. It's not like driving, but it's not far off. And those blokes put on a really good show, and I thought Fox/KO presented it really, really well too.
And the commentators were all social distancing. They had the right degree of space between each of them. I do love the two guys in the pit crew still had their pit passes on.
Yeah. and the big news, the big news is that Scotty McLaughlin has actually gone and kicked some ass against the Indy drivers.
Series
Came third in the third race. I think it was at Daytona or something like that. But more importantly, Nikki, this week, Max Verstappen has gained a wild card into the V8 Supercars E Series. He's going to be driving a Holden with Red Bull livery, and
Wincup's so shit?
No. It's just because Verstappen's so good. He does a lot of sim racing. Yeah. And he likes the supercars. He's already had a crack, in practice and all the rest of it. And I reckon that'll be great viewing because Max doesn't like a bit of a chirp, doesn't mind a bit of a chirp, I should say, and is competitive. I reckon he'd be competitive playing marbles. So that'll be good fun to watch.
And because it's through Twitch, they're all actually talking to each other.
Yeah, fantastic.
And so we don't have those videos yet of the comments that are made because there definitely has been a little bit of squaring up occurring already.
Yep.
But the fact of how competitive they were, and what I also loved was that whilst the game has a lot of in-game penalties, they still had Craig Baird, the driving, and he was giving out penalties. They were still treating it as if it was a proper race.
They were trying to.
Somebody lost his win and he was not happy about it.
Yeah. No, look, let's not overplay it. It's a bit of fun, but it's put together. The sponsors obviously are getting value, which is a big deal for motor car racing because there's so much reliance on sponsorship money, both for the drivers and also for the teams. And it was shown, I think, when one of the drivers rocked up at practice with Super Mario Kart costume on, but he wasn't actually allowed to wear it during the race for sponsorship reasons. So it's a good way for the sport to get sponsorship value. It's a good way for people to get people to remain engaged in the sport. It's a bit of fun. iRacing is a fantastic platform. It's almost up to the level, Donk, of Crowcast AFL Evolution 2, which you can see on Twitch Wednesday nights at 8:30. If you want AFL football simulation, then you won't find any. But if you want the second best thing, you'll find Crowcast Round 2 Showdown Wednesday night versus Port Adelaide at the Oval. Followed by whoever we're supposed to be playing at round 3 if I haven't rage quit by then.
You do some of the best simulation going around, Phoenix.
Well, there's only about 6 of us. Actually, the guy that does the best stream actually worked on the game. I think he did a lot of the voicing for the game. And it's quite funny because they've stuffed up the voicing. They've actually reversed it. So you get Gary Lyon, during a showdown, you get Gary Lyon referring to Adelaide but calling him Port Adelaide, which I reckon is actually quite realistic.
That's actually quite realistic.
Yeah, but they've messed it up, so hopefully they patch a few things. But it's a bit of fun, and like I said, a few beers and a few laughs. J-Mac is very supportive. He's my number one fan on Twitch, and number two and number three and number 20. No. But see how you go. Otherwise, you can catch a replay on YouTube or Facebook or Twitch or wherever the hell else. Have we got anything to bloody fill out our time with, or are we just about going to let these people out of their misery and move on with life?
They're doing emojis in the chat.
Yeah, see, that's the equivalent of the Mexican wave, and I think I think that's actually time for us to say goodbye. So, look, thank you once again to everyone who supports our podcast by coming on and chatting, even during this trying time. Thanks to everyone who continues to support us on Patreon. Can't believe it. It's fantastic. Thank you so much. To everyone who follows us on Facebook and YouTube and every other platform, thank you very much. And all being well, we will see you guys next Tuesday. Until then, stay safe, be good, and we'll see you later.
Night all.
Night all.